In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The second and the third Sundays in Lent juxtapose two characters very unique to the Gospel of John. Last week we were introduced to Nicodemus, who comes to Jesus by night and lasts all of nine verses in his conversation with Jesus before fading into the night from which he came. This week narrates another character's encounter also with Jesus, and the Samaritan woman, this time at the well. If we consider just for one moment the context and ask what's really going on here, we might then realize that we see a striking contrast between Nicodemus and the Samaritan woman. And given the fact that they appear one right after another in the Gospel, we are, in a sense, meant to notice this contrast in all of its detail. You see, Nicodemus, like we mentioned last week, is a Pharisee, a leader of the Jews. He's a man, he has a name, but he comes to Jesus by night. The character to whom we're introduced this week in the text is a Samaritan and a religious and political outsider, completely different. And she, in this case, she's a woman. And the Gospel, we're given no name for her. But she meets Jesus at noon in the full daylight. And the contrast between their conversations with Jesus, I think, is even more extraordinary. You see, whereas Nicodemus is unable to move beyond the confines of his religious system, the Samaritan moves outside of her religious expectations and engages Jesus in a theological debate. And whereas Nicodemus cannot hear that Jesus is sent by God, the woman at the well hears the actual name of God. Verse 26, I am. While Nicodemus questioned, and his whole questioning is so clear, as we discussed last week, he exposes, doesn't he, if you remember, his disbelief. And his words were, how can this be? The last words of the woman at the well also pose a question, but this time she says, he cannot be the Christ, can he? A question leading her then to go on to witness to her whole town. So there's a very clear difference. He holds, he doesn't quite grasp, but she accepts and then goes out. If we reflect on this really well-known and also rather long passage, one thing I've realised is that I cannot help but see the woman at the well. You're going to have to hold with me on this one. The woman at the well being a kind of a bucket. You see, much like the one she had brought to draw water that day from the well when she met Jesus, if you imagine for one minute that she is a bucket, then arguably you might think that she is old, maybe leaky, maybe she's full of cracks and holes, barely fit for purpose. At least that's how she might come to see herself, reminded every day by the stares and the hostility from her neighbours at a less than perfect lifestyle. She might even perhaps fit the description of an empty bucket as well, worn down, maybe dried up, maybe fed up, maybe feeling that she has little to offer. John Stott says, this is the profile that most characteristically would describe the lady that day. But in reality, I wonder if then this is how she began to see herself. But Jesus challenges all of that. If you consider for one moment that we are all buckets, I wonder what kind of bucket we would be. Would we be overflowing or empty? Would we be dried up spiritually? Would we be leaking? See, Jesus comes with no bucket at all with which to draw any kind of water from the well, verse 11. Yet he speaks of living water that can overflow from him to her and from her to others, bringing about new life. And even she perhaps wouldn't have even dared hope that the living water would have worked such wonders in her life so quickly. See, indeed, the conversation alone with Jesus has filled her so full of life and hope. Leaving her bucket by the well, she returns to the city and shares exactly what she's experienced with so many others. I believe that Jesus chose well. He chose a vessel that was broken, that was cracked, and filled it with life-giving grace and mercy, forgiveness and peace and love, knowing full well that it would leak and spill again, and that everywhere where it leaked, there would be new life and new hope, and through her springing up a well toward eternity. See, Henry Nguyen says that the best witness of grace is not perfect life, it's not the perfect character, it's not the perfect person. It is indeed the redeemed life, the leaky, the broken bucket that scatters its water further and farther and more generously than the sealed, watertight one. So what does this mean for us today, maybe for us tomorrow? You see, God, I believe, has always chosen leaky buckets. Look at Abraham, and David, Moses. Think of all the profiles of the disciples. And when he chose his people, the descendants of Abraham, he chose them not because they were perfect, not because anything that was shining in terms of status or power or religious credibility, but it was because of their weakness that his strength would shine through. I wonder, have you ever wondered how you would describe the Bible? Now, I often think the Bible, you know, is rather like a love letter. But it also reads, I think, rather like a catalogue of God choosing and working with the outcast, the very young, the very old, the unlikely, the poor, the foreigner, the outcasts. And Jesus poured the water of life into the leaky bucket of a Samaritan woman with a questionable past and an even more questionable present. And through her, that water of life brought life to a whole city. So many people converted. See, Jesus still I think, has no bucket of his own. But he asks us to use ours. We may have the shiniest, most perfect watering can or drinking bottle, or we may, like the Samaritan woman, feel like we are full of holes, cracked and leaking. I'd like to think that a cracked pot will easily and generously spill its precious contents in an unexpected and most wonderful places, and even the smallest vessel amongst us will somehow overflow far sooner than a big one. You see, as someone once explained to me, Paul, we come in all shapes and sizes. We come with so much baggage, warts and all. None of us are perfect. There is no perfect pot into which God can pour his love. But thankfully, here's the hinge, with an infinite amount of love being poured in, we will ultimately be filled up, and we can all, each one of us, overflow into someone else's life. I think the long gospel reading today for me says that, you know, we can rejoice in our leaky, tired old buckets, and we don't need to worry how small our vessels are. But most of us, most of all, we can rejoice in the water of life that Jesus pours into us, so that when we overflow, everyone around us might receive something of that new life that Christ has given to us. In the name of Jesus, amen.